wonder, would you read Revelations, the 22nd chapter, verses 12 through 17.
Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost.
We'll go back to the 14th verse, and we're going to expound on the 14th verse. In the New American Standard, it says, blessed are those who wash their robes. In the New King James Version, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments. But it's in the New American Standard, blessed are those who wash their robes. You know, do we really have to clean our clothes before we enter his gates? It's a question. You know, I was wondering, do we really need to clean our clothes? This expression is a Hebrew idiom. An idiom is it's a usage of vocabulary that is characteristic of a specific group of people. It's something that a specific group of people would say. And if you want to have the right to the tree of life, then we need to know what this Hebrew idiom really says. There are two important ideas in this verse, and they're both about clothing. The end of the book of Revelations is a glorious account of victory. God's plan accumulates in the renewed heaven and earth. Praise God. A new heaven and new earth. The triumphant bridegroom approaches the gates of the celestial city. I mean, what a day that's going to be. Amen? We can just imagine what awesome it's going to be. And there's a group of waiting citizens, those who will enter with their triumphant king. But they are instructed to wash their garments. This imagery comes from a much older text that is found in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, verses 26 and 28. And Wanda, would you read verses Leviticus 16, verse 26 through 28?
And the one who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward, he shall come into the camp. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp. And they shall burn their hides, their flesh, their refuge in the fire. Then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp.
So when we read these texts about the sacrificial procedures, you know, if you hadn't ever read Leviticus, you need to read it every now and then. As you kind of get bored, you can get bogged down in it. But it's there's a lots of ritual in it. But when we're reading this, we find a lot of information about clothing. The usual text required the person to be ritually washed before he entered the holy clothing could be put on. The priest had to be washed. And only on two occasions are the clothes to be washed. And both of those have to do with carrying sin away from the camp. The first is about the scapegoat. The person who takes a scapegoat out of the camp, in other words, all the sins were put on this goat and killed, and the goat was taken out of the camp. Therefore, it was symbolically removing sin from the congregation. But before that person could come back, he must wash his clothes before he could come back. And likewise, the person who carries the skins of the sin offering. In other words, when the ox was killed, they laid their hands on it, and the sins were on it, and that ox was killed, and then the skin was burnt, and everything was burnt, and it was taken out of the camp. Before the people that took that out of the camp took that out, before they could come back, they had to wash their clothes. So on both occasions, there was an act of purification before returning to the congregation. And when John uses this, the writer of Revelation, uses this imagery, he points us to the removal of the telltale signs of sin sacrifice before we enter into the gates of the city. Many Christian commentaries suggest that this is an allusion to the atonement work of Jesus. They submit that his death on the cross is the vehicle by which we are cleansed. Washed in his blood, we are ritually pure and able to enter. But the text here is active. It's not passive. There's a difference between, this is the reason why when you're going to school, you've got to learn English, amen? You've got to learn English, which I had a hard time with. That was a long time ago, so I learned a lot since then. But the text is active, not passive. It does not say, blessed are those whose clothes have been washed. It says that the blessed are the ones who washed their own clothes. Certainly, this cannot be the atonement provided by Jesus, since we have no part in earning what is the free gift. Praise God, Jesus gave us grace and saved us and set us free. Amen? Our parts come in obedience after salvation. We have a part. We have a part. If we focus on the active tense of this verse, we realize that washing our own robes is a metaphor for the obeying the instructions given by God for approaching him. In particular, this metaphor, this verse, reveals the need for those who have put off sinful behavior to clean the residue from their lives before coming into the presence of the Lord's presence. How is this accomplished? How is it accomplished? By keeping his instructions. It's really simple. Just keep his instructions. Who will have the right to the tree of life? Who will enter through the gates of the city? Those who have washed themselves of the stink of sin. We have a part. We have a part. Their guilt has been removed by Jesus. Jesus removed the guilt at the cross. And when we accept him, our guilt is removed. We're saved by grace. Amen? But we have a part. But until they have cleaned up according to the word, they cannot come back into the congregation. They carry the residue of the sin offering. It is removed by obedience. The residue of sin offering is removed by obedience. From the beginning to the end, Scripture teaches obedience. All through the Word of God. It's about obedience. I know that's not something that we all want to hear. You know, we don't want to have to know that we have to do this and we need to do this and we need to do that. No, we don't want to hear that. We just want to, everything's free. Everything's okay. You know, well, let's just go. Amen? It's a whole lot easier that way, isn't it? Man, everybody looks so happy. But from the beginning to the end of the Word of God teaches obedience. Are we prepared to enter in? In the New King James, it says, doing His commandments. In the New American Standard, it says, wash their clothes. It's saying the same thing. It's saying exactly the same thing. Both versions point to the same set of instructions. We can confidently conclude that at least this much, those who are blessed are very careful about the word. This is not about our rescue and our deliverance. The Lamb accomplished that. Jesus accomplished that quite independently of anything you can do. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift, but the blessing, the word is important, is the result of action. You read Matthew the 5th chapter, the Beatitudes, blessed to this, blessed those who mourn, blessed, you know, the whole list. It's something you do. It's something we do. The word is not a verb, it's an adjective, blessed. It's an adjective. It describes the inner state of bliss that accompanies an action taken by the person. How are you going to be blessed? By doing something. Amen? In other words, by doing our clothes, doing our laundry, ritual purity, by keeping His instructions, you'll discover an inner sense of joy and peace. If you're missing that joy and peace inside of you, go back and do the Word of God. Every now and then, when I feel I'm not blessed anymore, I'm losing that, God reminds me, you're not doing what I've been telling you to do. You're not doing my Word. You're not living the way I wanted you to do. You're not praying like you're supposed to be praying. And then He starts waking you up, I always say, at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you find yourself blessed when we do what He says. This inner sense arises as the byproduct of our action. It's what I said a while ago about in Matthew the 5th chapter. We need to go back and read the Beatitudes. Go read all of the blessed are this who mourn, blessed are all, blessed. Those who know the inner blessed of obedience are free to partake of the tree of life. Praise God. Free to partake of the tree of life and enter the gates. That might come about because they have taken the steps to cleanse themselves from sin. You know, we're talking about what Franklin Graham was talking about. Our political leaders are leaving their faith out on the steps before they go into the halls to write laws and everything else. We need to be praying that they would wash their clothes and stand up for God. Amen? And remember who they really are. we need to pray that God would raise up and bring godly people to be politicians, to go and rule this nation, but then when they get elected, that they don't forget their faith. So many times they forget their faith. Seems like, amen? But let's just keep, it's our responsibility. You know, it's our responsibility to pray and to intercede. You are not going to be invited to join the feast of the Lamb unless you've done the hard work of purification. Work it out with fear and trembling, because God is working in you. He's working in you. So let it be worked out. You are delivered in order that you may obey. You know, so many times we think that if we just get saved, it's all over with. We don't have anything else to do. Amen? Wrong. You're delivered in order that you may obey. Obedience is not optional once you're grafted into the family of God. The only question is this: are you doing what God said to do? On this holiday time, our 4th of July, the independence, are we doing what God said to do? Are you blessed? How did it say we could get blessed? Doing the word of God. Amen? So if you're not blessed, what's wrong? You're not doing the word of God. Amen? Kind of too simple. It's kind of too simple. But when you are blessed, you'll know it. When you do the word of God, you'll know it, because you'll be blessed. Blessed. So we need to go back and read the Beatitudes and realize it's something we're doing. Amen? Something we're doing. So, Father, we just thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we just ask that, and we just say this morning, Lord, that blessed are those who do your commandments and who wash our robes. Lord, work in our lives. Work in our lives this morning, Lord, in the days to come, that we would be obedient to your word and do what you say in your word. Lord, we just thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we just say that we are a blessed people this morning. We are a blessed people because we are obedient to you. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. So, are we a blessed people? Amen. Are we obedient people?